Yeah, it's 15 years since Oasis imploded before a gig in Paris. And in all those 15 years, there's been loads of speculation about a reunion. Well, it's finally happened. And they're coming to Croke Park in August of next year at the end of their UK and Ireland tour. But will they still be talking at the end of the tour? Well, we have psychologist Alison Keating on the line, who's written about siblings and the relationship between brothers and sisters, etc. Good afternoon, Alison.
Hello, Ray. How are you?
Not too bad. Now, we must say that you don't know either Liam or Noel personally.
No. So,
We're talking about this from a distance, but we can generalise. Sure. That's our job, I suppose. So you've been reading about it. There was an awful lot of hassle over the years, and it sort of came to a flashpoint and came to a tipping point at that thing, and they separated and they haven't been together since. But brothers, there's always a bit of argy-bargy, or is there?
I think there can be argy-bargy in all families, can't there? Mm. And when I heard about it yesterday, I thought, gosh, this is a real message of hope, because so many families, you know, have difficulties or there's estrangement and it often isn't talked about. But you know what? It's really, really common. Not very public very often, but it's very, very common. And I wonder today, for people who experience this, where they maybe don't get on with their siblings or their brothers or their sisters, and they kind of are ashamed of it, because there's this myth that because you're family, you actually get on. But that isn't necessarily the truth. And sibling rivalry, you know, it's created when you were children often, but the present often shows up, or the past shows up in the present a lot for people. And I think we don't necessarily have the skills to know how to actually deal with, especially as adults, because as kids, you know, people could kind of be physically rougher with each other, but you can't actually do that as adults. Well, if you do, it's really not good. But I just thought a lot of people don't have the skills on how to actually deal with conflict, especially sibling rivalry, because it's quite complex.
Mm. And of course, the added stress factor of doing it all publicly. Do you think
is a huge thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And do you think that time is a great healer?
No.
No.
I think therapy is a healer. But I like the thing, especially with, you know, when there's division or estrangement or people aren't talking within families, I think time can actually become quite toxic, because you can get stuck on whatever the issue was. Mm. And people can kind of become somewhat entrenched. And I also think there's a bit of a narrative, isn't there, about like needing to swallow your pride. I would love that to change, that you would actually kind of see it as like, as we progress in years, we may go up every year in age, but we don't necessarily mature. So it's really tough to come forward and take ownership of your part in it and to actually be willing to move forward. It's really challenging, but it is possible.
Yeah, on maturity, you would like to think that both men are more mature 15 years on. The other thing is that, you know, like, I'm not an expert, but there was sort of a power imbalance in that Noel wrote all the songs, Liam was just singing Noel's songs. But now Liam has carved out his own career, so he's like independent, if you like, of Noel. Do you think that mm-hmm. changes the dynamic?
I think it can. Like, I mean, when we look to sibling rivalry, a lot of it is about comparison and competition, and that's within families. So when that's public, and when people actually say things, and people, especially with people in the public eye, I think people say things very quickly and, you know, with judgment, and comparisons can be made on how they look, how they sound, everything. And it's deeply personal. So, like, I think sibling rivalry within a family is tough enough, and it's always that desire to have what I call the triple A. It's like you want your parents' attention, you want their affection, you want their admiration, and that never goes away. But if you're in the public eye, then yeah. you're opening it up even, the wound becomes even more painful, I think.
Yeah, their mum Peggy has been identified as a pivotal catalyst for the lads getting back together, which you would expect.
I think when that works, it's really great. And sometimes it can be the thing that just moves it from that kind of stuck place where people are finding it difficult to come forward. And sometimes it can just come from that sense of duty. Or even like as parents become older, you're like, okay, God, is it really worth, you know, still not talking and still not being able to meet up at Christmas time? So I think it's really, it's a great public story that, you know, people can take a message from today and go, do you know what would it be like if I took that first step? And, you know, and sometimes it'll work out and sometimes it won't. But I genuinely have seen families where they've not talked for years, and I mean decades. And, you know, you can think such rupture can never be repaired, but it can when you have willing people.
We don't know if they've gone to therapy or not. But from your experience and your work, how do you prevent the old issues coming up? Because obviously they fell out in a big way because of something, whatever it was, rivalry or whatever. And how do you prevent that raising its ugly head again?
I don't think you can ever prevent anything. I think you can, like, say, you know, if you're in therapy and you're working on things that you know trigger you, or if you notice there are certain patterns about things that definitely upset you, it's like, I think therapy in that way is like emotional first aid, that you're able to recognize, God, that really triggers me when they say that, or I get so upset when they act that way. So it's kind of bringing it back to yourself, looking at what you actually control, and then genuinely building a bit of a psychological toolbox where you learn with conflict that, like, how you begin an argument is going to be how it actually plays out very quickly. So if you go in attacking, or if you go in with language like "you always" or "you've never changed," forget it. And if it's personal, that's the big one. If you go in and you start personally attacking someone, forget it. There's no point in having that conversation because it's only going to end in more damage. So I think you can prevent more damage happening, but I wouldn't necessarily try and tiptoe around everything, because sometimes things need to be discussed and they need to be cleared out, and people need to hear from the other person's perspective and to feel understood. And that's really the core of relationships, where the repair can actually be done, that they go, okay, they actually get why I was so hurt or upset, and they understand as well.
Well, it's brilliant. You're getting hope from this Oasis's reunion.
I am.
Psychologist Alison Keaton, thanks so much for talking to us today. Thank you.